If we look back in the Mishnah, Chaim asked me Akasha, back on Daf Kof Tesam and Aleph. So Rashi seems to assume Elu Narish Yesham Knas, three lines down from the top, Im Onsa. And Rashi invokes the parsha in Kitetze of Ones, of Ma'anis, apparently leaving out the parsha Mishpatim Mufater. Now, if the subject of our Mishnah is Knas, there's no reason L'chaorah for Rashi to limit the discussion to Ma'anis. He could have equally have justified our Mishnah in the case of Mufater. So I'll read to you what I found here in the Yalkut Habirim. Hikshu Ha'achronim. Madua noket Rashi shemeduber dafka bi'ones velo b'mefata. Halo adin knas shove bazeli onesu mefata. So then, why did Rashi single out ones and not mention mefata?
Which Rashi?
Oh, we're on the first mission of the chapter.
Yeah.
I had a question. Why? Rashi is ones.
Yeah, we have a few minutes before we start where we picked up yesterday. He writes here, Mefuta is actually in the Torah first, in Parshas Mishpatim. Rashi could have quoted the Parsha Mefuta. He sort of skips over the Parsha Mefuta and picks up the Parsha of Ones. Not only that, we're going to have a Shita Rapapa, and this is in Masechta Sanhedrin, which this we mentioned in the Ian Shir, that our Mishnah of Chai V'Krisis has to be referring to a case of Mefata. In any event, let me give you the answer of the Pnei Yoshua. This is all before we start today's Shia. The Pnei Yoshua says that Rashi was forced into the corner here to interpret our Mishnah as referring to Ones because of Giores Umeshuchreres. Now, in the cases of Gioris Meshuchreris, there's no father in the picture, because a ger doesn't have a relationship to his halachic legal relationship to his biological relatives. So if we open up the parasha of Mefuta, the parasha Mefuta says, V'nosan lavi hanara. What does that mean? That if a man is mefata or nara, he has to pay the knas to her father. That's the parasha of mefuta. If the father's out of the picture, which we'll see in the cases of gioris and meshuchreres, then there is no knas. Why is there no knas? Because mefuta has a built-in mechila. The very fact that she consented, let's say she's a Nara and she consented to have this relationship, she has therefore waived her personal rights to collect the knas. The Torah is talking about addressing a case where she has a father. She doesn't have the power and the authority to waive the knas because the knas is earmarked for her father. So the only way we can learn our Mishnah in the case of Mefuta would only be a case where she has a father, which is exactly what it says in the parasha of Mefuta, V'nosan Lavi Anara. When it says V'nosan Lavi Anara in the parasha of Mefata, it's exclusive, meaning it's only in the case of V'nosan Lavi Anara. There's no possibility of paying a knas to her herself, because as far as she's concerned, if the father would be out of the picture, she's mocheles. Says the Pnei Yoshua, in the cases of Gioris and Meshuchreres, by definition, there is no father. Everybody clear on that point? That by definition there's no father in the cases, right? So if that, therefore, Rashi's stuck because our Mishnah mentions Gioris Meshuchreres. And Gioris Meshuchreres, in the case of Mefuta, there'll be no knas.
But Rashi doesn't have to say the entire Mishnah is only on this. He could just say these two cases apply only in onus.
So that's where you have to give, again, we'll get to the second answer of the Pnei Yeshua, see if it's better, but this is the granting the Pnei Yeshua a little bit of literary license, if you will. Rashi, even though Rashi is relating to the beginning of the Mishnah, let's go over to Rashi again inside. Rashi says, Elu Nairish Yeshlam Knas Im Onsa Adam, right? He hasn't yet gotten to the next section of the Mishnah, Vabal Giores, But the Pnei Yeshua is allowed, it says that Rashi wants to allow for an interpretation of the Mishnah that can take us straight through the Mishnah. So Rashi's introduction of Im Ansa Adam is already anticipating what's coming around the bend in the Mishnah, namely Gioris and Shivcha, because in those cases, since there's no father in the picture, there could be no knas in the case of mefuta. So let's just focus for a moment on Gioris and Shivcha Meshuchreres. Here are the following premises that Rashi has to churn together. Number one, there is no father. That's the first premise, because this is Gioris. Even a Meshuchreres is a Gioris, because she was born a non-Jew, and through Shivcha she became a partial Gioris, and she becomes a full-fledged Gioris after she receives a get shichur. So premise number one is that in those cases there is no father in the picture. Premise number two is that the parsha mafater could only be referring to a case of Inasan Lavianara where there is a father in the picture. And the reason for that is based on another premise which we have to introduce into the equation, and that is that mefuta, by definition, has a built-in mechila as far as she's concerned. Premise number four is her mechila is ineffective as far as her father, because I can't be mokel achov that you can collect. I have no rights to do so. But if the father is out of the picture, then in a case of mefuta, by definition, there's a built-in mechila. There's no knas. Hence, Rashi, as far as Gioris and Meshuchreres is concerned, could not possibly have interpreted the Mishnah as a case of Mefuta, because in that case there is no Knas insofar as the father is not in the picture. She was Mochelas, and therefore Rashi was forced to interpret that we're talking about Onis. Now in the case of Onis, there is no Mechila, so therefore it's very smooth that in Gioris and Meshuchreres the Ma'anis is going to pay the Knas to the Isha herself, right? She's a Nara. And the reason for that is because she's a basula, because the gerus took place before she reached the age of three. And here the father's out of the picture, so there's no knas to the father in this case, but there will be a knas to the naira herself, and she wasn't mochelis, it was a case of onus. We'll just mention another answer of the Pnei Yeshua. He wants to say the following, that the Iker Chiddush of our Mishnah is to exclude Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Asya, the brice that the Gemara is going to quote on Daf Lavid, as far as Velo Siyah Le'isha is concerned, because they learn that Velo Siyah Le'isha only applies to Isha Re'uyala. Do you follow? Mm-hmm. In other words, according to two Tanoim in the brice, and the Mishnah is against those two Tanoim, there could be no possibility of a chiyuv knas in the case of psulos, because of the pasuk v'lo siyah le'isha. So Rashi chose, according to the Pnei Yeshua's answer, the second answer, to focus on the parasha of Ones, because that's where it says v'lo siyah le'isha. So the chiddush of our Mishnah is that despite the pasuk of v'lo siyah le'isha, which is formulated in the parasha of Ones, nevertheless there still will be a knas, and we're not going to learn v'lo siyah le'isha as a prerequisite or a precondition for knas. No, there's knas and there's v'lo siyah le'isha, and those are two separate independent elements. And Rashi wants to point that out in the case of onus, because in the case of onus, there's v'lo siyah le'isha. There's another answer here which is very technical that he brings down in the name of other achronim, and that is that in the parsha of mafata, the Torah doesn't actually spell out exactly what the knas is, as opposed to the parish of Onis and Kitetze. There it says v'nasana isha shochevi molavi anara chamishim keser. So we're going to have a hekesh later on, but the Iker parish of chamishim keser of knas is written in Onis. So Rashi wants to give an interpretation of the Mishnah, the subject of which is knas, by setting us in a framework, so to speak, of Onis, because that's the parish of in which the Torah spells out what the knas is. He's got another answer here that the Mishnah later on is going to introduce in the case of mafata many, many other types of chiyuvim above and beyond knas, and that has to do with boshas and pagam and so forth. So Rashi wanted to focus our attention on knas, and therefore he mentions onus. Again, another technical answer. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me, after all the technical answers, the real answer, I think, in Lomdus, I think, is Gioris Mishukheris, because there Rashi has no choice but to assume we're talking about an onus.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, then. Let's start the shiur for today. We're on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. I always say about Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, it's what you call in Yiddish a Hartzik Daf. Very heartfelt Daf, because it's called Lev. And the Gemara at this point has rejected the following suggestion that Ula, who says that in the case where there's an overlap of Mammon and Malkus, says you pay Mammon and you don't get Malkus, derives it from Chovel Bechavero. And the Gemara says no, you can't derive it from Chovel Bechavero, either because there's a Chumrah in Chovel Bechavero. So if you assume that the Chiv Mammon, in contrast to Malkus, is L'chumra, and we had two possibilities in the Chsam Sofer as to why Mammon is a Chumra. The first possibility is because it's a Chumra for the Yarshim, and the second possibility is because we're talking about a very high-powered Mammon here. We have to pay hundreds of thousands. And maybe the Torah was machmir to slap a chiv on the chovel of paying mammon rather than give him malchus because of the chumra of chavola. The other reason the Gemara rejects it is if you assume that adarabba, mammon is a kula, which means the Torah wanted to let him off the hook by paying mammon, writing out a check without suffering the corporeal pain and suffering of 39 lashes, then maybe the Torah was dafka mekel in chovel b'chavero shekein huta mechlolo, because we find that Bezdin has a right to, so to speak, violate the iser of Pen Yosef if they find that there's a situation that arises in the community which necessitates beating this guy up, and they're allowed to beat him up until he's black and blue, and that's a heter on the iser of Lo Yosef. And we don't find with regard to other Malkus that the Torah would alleviate, would remove the Iser Lav in any situation whatsoever. There's no Huter Mechlola.
Wait, I'm sorry. I think I missed this before. The Hatra is to exceed the 40 occasionally?
I didn't follow what you said.
The Heter is to exceed the 40?
The heter, we thought that the heter here was the 39 malchus, the 39 itself. So and the Chassam Sofer, if you remember, couldn't tolerate that pshat. He says that's not a heter, that's not, there's an Iser Baltosiv, and then the Torah was matir for the sake of Bezdin. Bezdin is obligated under the mitzvah of Bezdin to mete out 39 lashes. So you can't say that's a hehuter mechlol, that's the mitzvah itself. It's like, for example, in Big Day Kohuna, there's shatneys, right? So you're not going to say, well, we'll derive from this that Ese Dokalosa said. No, that's the way the Torah gave the mitzvah. It's not a lav at all. You're not violating the lav of shatneys because the Torah commands you to wear a Big Day Kohuna if you're a Kohen. Fine. So at this point, the Chassam Sofer introduces another Huta Mechlolo, another twist, another angle. And he says that Huta Mechlolo means that Bezdin's allowed to beat up somebody for the sake of the community.
Even in cases where it's not clearly required to do so.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Or we could say it the other way, where it's clearly not required to do so. Meaning a guy rode a horse on Shabbos. Okay, fine. But you don't get Malkus for riding a horse. So there's no mitzvah to beat him up till he's blue in the face. And yet the sugya in Masechet Yevamos derives that Bezdin's allowed to beat him up. Why? Because people were riding horses on Shabbos. So we got to stop that. You know, I would say that there's certain places you can go to. I don't want to be motzi laz, but the dress is less than sneezdik. But they have a glatt kosher hechsher. You know, so. So the question is whether Rabbanim in such a case should they give a heksher on the food when there's no heksher on going into such a place, if you know what I'm saying. So now the Gemara needs to find an alternative source for Ula. How do we know that in general, when there's Malkus and Mis and Malkus and Mammon, you meet out the Mammon and you alleviate the Malkus? Elo Gomar mi Eidim Zomer. So let's just make sure we're all on the same page. So we're gonna count up, let's say from the bottom of the Amud on Daf Lamed Beis, approximately 12 lines. The first word in the line is Ella. Do you have such a thing? Ella Gomar mi Eidim Zomimim. Let's derive Ula's principle from Eidim Zomimim. So here's the case. Two Eidim testify that Reuven owes Shimon 100. Now two Eidim come in and they testify that those Eidim were with us elsewhere. They couldn't possibly have been at the scene of this so-called this exchange of money. So in such a case, the Torah says Vasisim lo kasher zomam, that the Eidim who perjured themselves, because again, this is the Pele of Eidim Zom, we believe the second pair of Eidim, not the first pair of Eidim, that's not for us now. If you'd like, we could discuss that in great length, but the Torah says, let's accept it at face value, that we believe the second pair of Eidim, Imanu Ayisem, and therefore we believe that the first pair of Eidim perjured themselves, they will pay exactly the amount of money that they intended to force the Nidon to pay the Toveah, meaning that the defendant should be guilty based on their edus that he borrowed money and he didn't pay it back, and therefore he has to pay it back to the plaintiff. So that's Vasisim lo kasher zomam. And the point that we have to keep in mind here is that Eidim Zomimim should be Chayav Malkus as well. And that's because the Torah says, Lo sana breyacha eid shoker. So when a witness perjures himself, he violates a law. And although it's a law of shem bo maisa, it's only dibur, but the Gemara says that because of bidibur of it maisa, meaning because bezdin paskin the din, based on their statement, their testimony, that's considered like a maisa. So they get malchus for that, but they don't get malchus. They should get malchus, but they don't get malchus. Ma edim zomimim. In this case, there's an overlap of both a chi of mamon and a chi of malchus. Is mamon mishalim milka lo loki? And yet the Torah says that they pay, and that's under the law of asisim lo kasher zomam, and they don't get malchus. Is af kol? Let's universalize this. Kol hecha deika mamon umalchus is mamon mishalim milka lo loki. That in this choice between Mammon and Malkus, the Torah imposes a chi of Mammon and removes the chi of Malkus. And that's what we saw in Eidim Zomimim. By the way, there are cases where Eidim Zomimim will get Malkus for Losana when there's no Mammon. Let's say, for example, two Eidim testify that Reuven ate Chazatreif. And then two Eidim said, you couldn't have been us to, you weren't at McDonald's on the corner of 9th and Avenue J because you were with us on the other side of the other side of the world. So in such a case, they will get Malkus for Losan of Reach Eid Shaker because there's no Chi of Mammon in that case. The Sugya in Malkus wants to know, should they get two sets of Malkus? One set of Malkus under Vyasisim Lokash and Soma because they wanted to be Mechayev Reuven Malkus for eating treif, and another set of Malkus for losana breyach eid shaker for perjuring themselves in a court of law, and that's where the Gemara has a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, whether they get two sets of Malkus or one set of Malkus. But I'm just pointing out that there is a reality of Eidim Zomu get Malkus because of losana breyach eid shaker. Such a thing exists. But in the case of Mammon, where they testified against Reuven that he has to pay 100 to Shimon, they don't get Malkus. And the reason they don't get Malkus is because the Torah says, V'asisim lo kasher zomam, and they pay for the 100 to Reuven. But why not use this as a binyan av to derive that whenever there's an overlap of Mammon and Malkus, we give him Mammon and we alleviate him from Malkus? That's exactly the source for Ula. But now watch what's going to happen. We're going to go through two possibilities. One possibility is to assume that paying paying mamon is a chumrah. Why? Because imagine if they testified against Reuven that he owes $100 million to Shimon. I mean, a person would rather get 39 lashes, again, from a weak malke, right, with all those laws, than pay $100 million. So let's assume that mamon is now a chumrah. Well, maybe Adam Zomim, we could find the chumrah, and that would then reject this limud, this yafusa, because maybe the Torah was very machmir on Adam Zomim, but it wouldn't be machmir on other cases of a regular lav. On the other hand, we're going to go through the other possibility, that paying mamon is a kula. Why? Because the person would rather write a check than get 39 lashes. And on that side, what we're going to do is we're going to say that maybe there's a kula in Edim Zomimim, and therefore the Torah was mekil and allowed the Edim Zomim to get away with murder by paying money, writing a check, instead of getting 39 malkas. But elsewhere, we don't have that kula. So that's what the Gemara is going to do now. The Gemara is going to reject the limud from Edim Zomim, just like the Gemara rejected the Yalfusa from Chovel. The Torah is very machmir in Edim Zomim, because when they give their testimony, we don't warn them first. And the Gemara has a whole sugya why we don't warn them first. Let's go with one approach. We don't warn them because we're afraid if you warn them, then they'll just chicken out, so to speak. They'll be overwhelmed by the fear of the Hasra and they won't even give Edus, so we'll undermine the whole institution of Edus. But whatever the reason is, there's no Hasra in Edim Zomimim, and that's a tremendous Chumrah in Edim Zomimim. And in every other Lav, there's no Chiyuv unless there was a before the violation of the Lav, it was preempted by Hasra. Here there was no Hasra. So maybe if we want to assume that paying $100 million is a Chumrah, then maybe the Torah was machmer in the case of Edom Zomim. Harai, the Torah in Edom Zomim doesn't require Asra, and therefore the Torah was machmer mamon v'ein aloke, and he's going to pay $100 million. The imamon alakulahu. But if you take the other side and you're going to say that writing a check is always, mostly always a leniency vis-a-vis getting physical malchus, then I'll tell you there's a kula in Edom Zomim. What's the kula in Edom Zomim? That the why was the Torah so lenient and allowed the Edom Zomim simply to sign a check? The answer is came lo asu maisa. Normally, when you get malchus for an asiya. The case of losana briachei shaka, where an aid purges himself, is just dibur, and it's not asiya. Again, we considered it like asiya, as we said before, and the Torah says you get malchus for that. There will be cases where Edom Zomim get malchus, not in a case where they testified against Reuven that he owes money to Shimon, because then the Edom Kashuzon will pay mamon to Reuven, and they alleviate themselves of malchus. But in any event, maybe we'll say like this, when did the Torah allow you to get away with murder and just sign a check, and you don't have to get the malchus? That's only in the case of Edom Zomim. Edom Zomim are less guilty than any other violation of law. You know, if somebody eats chazer, so he did a mice of eating chazer. But these Edom didn't do any action, it was just hot air. So maybe the Torah is mekil and allows them to get away with signing a check. Ela gomar mitravayu. Now, for those who are interested in Talmudic methodology, this is a classic. This is what we call a tzad hashava. What we're going to do is, we're going to point out that the chumras and the kulas of chovel b'chavero on the one hand, and edim zom on the other hand, are different one from the other. And that's going to allow us to join forces. If you're following Israeli politics, everything in politics today is about joining forces. Okay. And that's why we're stuck without a government, because we need to join forces. A coalition government, as they call it. So this is called a Tzad HaShavah. It's a coalition Tzad HaShavah.
Is this a type of Binyan Av Mishnei Ketuvim?
I don't think so. I think Binyan Av Mishnei Ketuvim is something else. I mean, it could be that we have a principle called Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kechrein Melamdim, which means that if the Torah repeated something, then we limit it.
That's true.
So I'm not sure what you have in mind here. But a Tzad HaShavah means if I want to derive some universal principle from A, but I find that A has an exception, so that's why I reject that. Then I want to derive from B some sort of the same universal principle, but B has an exception. then I could combine forces, that's the coalition of A and B, and say, well, they, you know, if you can tell me, well, A is different because of reason X, then I'm going to prove to you from Y, because Y establishes the same principle. It doesn't have that distinction. You follow? I mean, it'll become clear as we go through it. So let's see what it means, Gomer Mitzvah. So we're going to take Chovil B'Chavero, we're going to take Edim Zomimim, and we'll combine it together. So let's go through the possibilities. If you're going to tell me, well, I can't derive anything from Chovel B'Chavero, and we're assuming that paying Mammon in the case of $100 million is a Chumrah, because Chovel B'Chavero is a Chumrah that he pays five Dvarim, Nezik Tzaripu, Chemes, and Boshes, and then I'll say Edim Zomim Tochiyah, because again in Edim Zomim the Torah says that we're going to be Machmir on him, and we're going to say he has to pay $100 million. And in that case, we don't have the chumrah of nezek tsar ripui shevis and boshes. Edim zomim simply pay the 200 that they tried to force the nidon to pay. And if we're going to go the other way around and say that mamon is lakula, that we're letting him getting away with physical pain and suffering of 39 malchus by letting him write a check, so that we reject it because maybe the Torah was mekil in Chovil, because Chovil is hutu mechlolo etzel bezdin, then I'll prove to you from Edim Zomim, because Edim Zomim they pay, even though there's no kula of hutu mechlolo etzel bezdin. There's no heter on lo sana briach et shakar, perjuring yourself. Again, if you take it the other way around and you want to learn from Edim Zomim, when you say when Edim Zomim has a chum because there's no asra, that doesn't apply to Chovil b'chavero. Chovil b'chavero could only be chayv malchus if he got asra. And if you're going to tell me, well, I can't derive anything from Edim Zomim because it's a kula in Edim Zomim lo kovid maisa, well, I'm going to prove to you from Chovil b'chavero that doesn't have that kula, and yet the Torah was making it'll allow them to pay and sign a check. So that's called a Gorem Mitzvah, otherwise known as a Tzad HaShava. So the Gemara says, Nein. If you're going to tell, so let's go through the Tzad HaShava. Ma Tzad HaShava Bohen, Di'iko Mamonu Malkis, Is Mamona Mishalim Milka Lo Loki, Af Kol Hechadika Mamon Umalkis Mamona Mishalim Milka Lo Loki. So we have these two cases that establish a Binyan Av as joint forces, that whenever there's an overlap of Mamon and Malkis, then you pay Mamon and you're alleviated from Malkis. Here the Gemara has another principle, and that's called Tzad Chomer. What does Tzad Chomer mean? Tzad Chomer means that even though each Chumrah respectively is different, right? The Chumrah in Chovil is Chamish Dvarim, the Chumrah in Edim Zomim is that you don't need Asra, but nevertheless one thing is common to both these cases. There's a Tzad Chomer. You see that the Torah was very harsh in the cases of Chovil and Edim Zomim, that in the case of Chovil the Torah said you're gonna pay five different categories of compensation, and in the case of Edim Zomim you're gonna pay even though there was no Asra, and so forth. So that's called Ma L'Tzad HaShava Shemen Shekein Yesh Bohen Tzad Chomor. So that anytime you want to derive a third case from these two cases, from the Tzad HaShava of Chovil and Edim Zomim, who's going to say, well, your two cases have a Chumrah. Again, each Chumrah is a little different, but it doesn't matter. They both have a common Chumrah. And in the third case that I want to derive, there's no Chumrah, not this Chumrah nor that Chumrah. Now let's flip it around. Let's assume that writing a check is a kula, and then you're going to say, well, the kula of Chovil is not the same as the kula of Edim Zomim. It doesn't matter. Yesh shekein yesh b'hem tzad hakal. They're both lakula. It doesn't matter what the particular kula is, but if you're joining forces with them, I can't derive a third case from those two cases that come in, because in those two cases there's a tzad kula. In the third case that you know potentially you want to derive from these two cases, you don't have the kula of huter mechlolo. You don't have the kula of dibur without a maisa. So basically, the entire effort, or shall I say, enterprise of deriving Ula's conclusion from what we call a binyan av, whether it's Chovil, whether it's Edim Zomim, whether it's a Tzad HaShava between the two of them together, fails. It's an abortion. That's all. It doesn't exist.
I'm not very familiar with Tzad HaShava, but I thought the idea was that the fact that they had different stringencies was why you can combine them, and the Gemara here is challenging them because they have different stringencies.
So again, if the different stringencies work in different ways, again, we'd have to go through Tzad HaShavah's all over Shas, but I'm saying if you did that research, they were totally different one from the other, meaning it was a different concept, so we rejected A because of a certain type of reason, and B for a different type of reason, then the Tzad HaShavah would stay, would remain. But the Tzad Chomer means that in both cases you rejected the Binyanah for the same reason. Again, the specifics how you dress it up might be different in each case, but the bottom line is that whatever those specifics are, what they give you is a chumrah, so that both Chovel and Edim Zomim have one thing in common, that the Torah is very machmir in a very unusual way in both of them. How that chumrah expresses itself, tachlis, meaning in tangible ways, is different, but those are nuances. Both of them together have a tzad chomer.
Why is having a tzad chomer a problem if this?
Well, because the Torah was machmir and says you have to pay mammon, right, $100 billion, because the Torah was machmir in these two cases. You have a case three where the Torah wasn't machmir. It's classic. It doesn't have this chomer, it doesn't have that chomer, it has no chomer whatsoever. Maybe the Torah would say let me get away with malchus instead of paying $100 billion.
They're different chomers. I mean, they're not.
Don't you follow? The question is, you have mammon, you have malchus. We're assuming now that mammon is a chomer. It's $100 billion. To prove to me that in a case where there's no chumrah whatsoever, the Torah says, nevertheless, that you pay more, which is a tremendous chumrah, $100 million. How do you know that? You can't know it neither from this, nor from that, nor the combination thereof, because I'll always tell you the following rule. What the Tzad HaShavah can give you is the following rule, that whenever you have a Tzad Chomer, then the Torah is going to slap you with a $100 million fine. But we want to know when there's no Tzad HaChomer, the Torah would slap you with a $100 million fine. That we don't know. That's the logic of Tzad Chomer. Ella says the Gemara.
At this point, then, yeah. where the Gemara says, Ma le tzad HaShavah Shomayim, so that's the point of rejection. That's the point at which.
Well, I don't know what line you're up to here. There's one line that says, that well, says, Ma tzad HaShavah Shomayim, to Ikam Omenu Malkus, etc. That was the Havamina.
Right.
But and the rejection is, Ma le tzad HaShavah Shomayim, Sheken Yesh Bahem, Tzad Chomer.
I just wanted to make that.
Yeah. Good? Now at this point, we're going to try to find a totally different, a qualitatively different type of Yalfusa, which is called Gzeira Shava. And the fascinating thing about the Gzeira Shava is that it has a certain power that goes beyond Binyanav. It's almost as if the Torah says explicitly that you should derive X from Y because the both X and Y have the same word in the Torah. And that's called the Gzeira Shava of Tachas Tachas. And what we have here is the following. In the parsha of Ones, the Torah says in Ki Teitzei, Lo velo siya le'isha, Tachas asher ina. So we're going to underline the word Tachas. Now in the parsha of Chovel, which is in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah says Ayin Tachas Ayin. So we again underline the word tachas. And this generates a gzera shava. And that's going to allow us to equate chovel b'chavero with the knas of ones. Correct? Because in chovel it says tachas. That's ayin tachas ayin. And in the case of ma'anes, the knas it says tachas asher ino. Ma'ahosim, just like in the case of Chovel, Mamona Mishalim Milkalo Loki, the Torah alleviates Malkus in favor of paying money. Is Af Kol Hecha De'ika Mamon Malkus is Mamon Mishalim Milkalo Loki. Now this is very odd. I'll tell you what the problem here is. The language of the Gemara seems to indicate Af Kol Hecha. If you underline those three words, Af Kol Hecha. Which means that in all cases of Mamon and Malkus, we're going to apply Ula's rule, Mamon and Mishalim Milkal Olaki, he pays and he doesn't get Malkus. Correct? Kol Hecha. Do you see that? Af Kol Hecha? And Rashi really picks this up. If you take a look at Rashi, four lines before the end of the page, that's Dibra Maskil, Maitaima, etc. So Rashi says, Lechol Chayve Mamon and Malkus. that what we derive from this Gzeirah Shava is that in all cases where there's an overlap of Momon and Malkus, then you get Momon, you pay Momon, and you don't get Malkus. And this bothers the mind of Tosfos, which you'll see Dibra Maschil Ella. And Tosfos points out that this Gzeirah Shava allows us to equate Chovel with what? What's the other case of Tachas? Tachas Hersher Ino? Or the Knas of Onus, right? I meant to say, allows us to equate Chovel, sorry, I didn't say it when I say it right, Chovel, where it says Ayin Tachas Ayin, with the Tachas of Onus, of the Knas of Onus, where it says Tachas Hersher Ino. What gives you the right now to take that Gzeirah Shava and universalize it L'chol Chayvei Mamon U'Malkos? And therefore, Tosfos wants to suggest that Ula is of the opinion that this principle of Mamon and Malkus, that you pay Mamon, only applies where the Torah says it. For example, in Chovel, that's case number one. Eidim Zomimim, right, where the Torah says Kasher Zomam. And number three, Onis, where the Torah uses the word Tachas. But beyond that, you have no right to expand it to all cases of an overlap. And the Ritva points out, has Tosfos read the Gemara? Look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Af kol hecha. So the Ritva suggests that Tosfos had a different girsa in the Gemara. He couldn't have possibly had a girsa. And instead, the Ritva changes the word hecha to the word hacha and takes out the word kol. Let me say that one more time. This is so cool. If you like yourselves, you know, what the Ritva does is he says af, skip the word kol, and take the yud out of the word hecha, and you read it af hacha here in the case of onus. That's Tosfos's girsa. Rashi was compelled to universalize this halach of ula based on the fact that he had allegiance, so that says af kol hecha in all cases when there's moment of malchus, then you pay and you don't get malchus.
Does this have a disgirsa, or did he change?
That's what the Ritva says. He says that Tosfos garsu girsa cheres. Does that mean that they had a different girsa? They changed the girsa? It just says Tosfos garsu girsa cheres. But do you see where the Ritva is compelled to say so? Because the girsa as we have it is intolerable. It's impossible. It's Rashi against Tosfos.
Now, which Rashi was this?
Again, four lines up from the bottom of the page. The last word in that line is L'chol.
Yeah.
You want to underline the words L'chol Chayvei Mamon U'Malkus. Which basically, you can't blame Rashi. He's simply translating the Gemara into Hebrew. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says it in Aramaic, and Rashi just translates it for us. It says Af Kol Hecha, which Rashi says L'chol Chayvei Mamon U'Malkus. And Tosfos is going to have a whole other approach to this sugya, because how could this Gzeirah Shava possibly teach you anything about other cases? The Gzeir Shava tells you that there's an equation between Chovel and Onus. Okay, in the Onus case, he pays and he gets away with Malkus. But that doesn't prove a thing about other cases. Now, I think, again, Rabosei, don't hold me responsible for what I'm about to say. It's just musings of a madman. I think that Rashi is going to argue the following. When the Gemara introduces this Gzeirah Shava, the Gemara is not replacing a Tzadah Shava, or let's call it a Mamotzinu, right? It's not replacing the Tzadah Shava with the Gzeirah Shava. It's combining the two. What I mean is the following. Mm-hmm. The Gzeirah Shava is going to give me the law of Onus, because in the Parashah of Onus it says Tachas. Once I know in the case of Onus, then I apply the rule of Tzadah Shava, Bamei Matzinu.
You have three parts Tzadah Shava, so yeah. Therefore the Chumrah that you had before now doesn't exist here.
Exactly.
So now you can say they...
Exactly, because in Onus we don't have a Chumrah for Shekein Hutter Mechlolo. And in the case of Onus we don't have the Kula of Bidibura, because he's talking about a Maisa Bia. So we have none of the kulas. We have none of the chumras of Chamisha Dvar. So that's a little bit of a problem. Yeah, you're right. That's a kasha. Okay, I don't know how to work that out yet. Because Lechora, you do have the chumra of Chovel. in Boshes who forgot. All right, I don't know. So maybe I'm treading on dangerous change there. Do you follow what was bothering me? Though there's a piece of the puzzle here that's missing. And we understand Rashi's position based on the Girsa of the Gemara, but Tosfos logically is correct. And again, the Ritva claims that Tosfos had a different Girsa. Logically, Tosfos' position is much more compelling, because why should you take this Gezeirah Shav and go beyond the confines of Onis? So that's where I thought that maybe Rashi would say, once we have an Onis, we break up all the objections and all the pirkus that we had on the Tzara Shav of Chovel and Edim Zomim, because Onis doesn't suffer from any of those pirkus. So I'm partially right. If you assume that Mamona is Lekula, right? If you assume that Mamona is Lekula, which means the Torah let him off easy by allowing him to sign a check, then the kulos of Chovel, which is Hutu Mechlolo, and Edim Zomim, which is Bidibura, they don't apply to the case of Ma'anis. A rape situation doesn't have any of those kulos. But I'm stuck, because if you flip it around in terms of Chumras, so we found the Chumra in Edim Zomim was that it's Bidibura. Okay, that Chumra we don't find in the case of Ma'anis, because he did a Ma'aseh Bia, but the Chumra in the case of Chovel was Chamisha Dvarim, and that Chumra does apply to Ma'anis. So I'm stuck at that point.
And it has Chamisha Dvarim, or is it...
Say it again?
Does Onis have all five, or...
It definitely has three out of five. It has Boshes, Pagam, and Nezek. Oh, it has Tsar as well, with the exception of the case of Mefuta, because we said that Mefuta doesn't have Tsar.
Or could you
Sheves, I don't know. This would be an interesting case. I don't know.
Sheves would do it only if she was injured.
That's what I'm wondering. You know, if a woman is never raped, can she go to work the next morning? I don't know. I may have to talk about psychological Sheves.
Maybe you're just looking at the Kanas part of it, and then there's... And then you're not looking at the Mama. Because in all
cases, you know, what we're looking at is the Avera.
Right.
That's the whole sugi is looking at the Avera. The Kula in the Avera was the fact that Hutu Mechlol, the Torah was mat in the Avera. The Chumra in the Avera is that as a result of the Avera, we're going to force him to pay money that he normally would not pay.
But
when we look at the Avera of having a beer with a woman, then that Avera would generate all the Chiyuvim of Chavola, all five Chiyuvim. So the Torah is very machmir here.
Because
it's a physical injury, you know, it's an assault.
Right.
You know, I would almost be willing to say that the personification of all assault and battery is rape. I don't know. You look up in Google and I think you'll probably find some support for that. I don't know.
But the... if there were no injury at all, then you still would have to pay the kanas, right?
Correct. But again, you know, that's because the violation is so severe that the Torah says, we're going to impose on you a chumrah, and we're going to make you pay, and we're not going to alleviate your payment by the fact that you should be getting malchus. And that avera is a very chumradik avera, because it's an avera of chavola. So it's interesting, Rabbi. So I was just thinking out loud, if in the case of Ma'anis, let's say you got a Hasra, I'm just wondering, could you give, see, after, I don't know enough of Perakei Lunaris to answer this question, could you give a double Hasra? Could you give him a Hasra, number one, because he's having a relationship with his own sister, and at the same time give him a Hasra because he's being Chovel, and that's a violation of Pen Yosef? Now that's something that we should really... take under advice. Maybe tomorrow I'll be smarter, but that's as smart as I am today.
There's a reference here in Steinsaus to the Tosfos Shas. I'll read it and you'll tell me, right? If you understand it the same way. Ratzulamar Shav Emes Tela Nomad Ula Begzer Shav Rakna Mikrim Misri Amim Yacharkach Uchose Verlame Mehem Mebinyan Av Nikola Kula.
Okay, good. But does he ask our question about chavola? You know that every Ma'anis case is a chavola.
No.
Okay, so that's what we have to. So give me until tomorrow. Maybe I'll come up with something.
But the now, idea that this Yerushalayim is not expanded. So that's
next Tosfos Shita, and Rashi's going to expand it based on a binyan av. So that's good. That's the Tosfos Shas. Now Rabosai, we have about 5 minutes. I want to introduce, this is a turning point in the sugya, and that's Rabbi Yochanan. So I want to give you 5 minutes to introduce this turning point, because this is like what I call, you know, if you had hakafas, you know, this hakafa bet, you know, till now hakafa al. Let's go back to the drawing board. Our Mishnah says, in the case of Ba'al Achoso, etc., etc., he pays a knas. Oh. Now, according to Ula, we have a problem with a Mishnah in Makkos. Because the Mishnah in Makkos says that Ba'al Achoso gets Malkos. Well, let's have it. What is it? Is it Ba'al Achoso pays knas, or is it Ba'al Achoso gets Malkos? So this forced Ula, if you recall, to introduce an ukimta in Makkos, in the Mishnah in Makkos, that we're talking about a case where there is no knas. She's a ketana, she's a bogeres, she's a shota, all the different permutations and the ukimta. It was very, you know, he whittled it down, you know, in order to justify why you get Malkos in the case of Makkos, in the Mishnah in Makkos. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't need the whole thing. All of the efforts of Ula are totally unnecessary. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Tema Achoso Nara. Enoch Inami, the Mishnah in Makkos is addressing your classic case of Achoso. It doesn't say that she's not a Nara. It says Achoso. Achoso's a Nara. And there would be a Knas. Why is there no Knas? Kansha Hisrubo, Kansha Lo Hisrubo. Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a technical difference between our Mishnah in Perakei Lunaris and the Mishnah in Makkos. In our Mishnah, the reason why there was no Malkos is because there was no Asra. Had there been a Asra before he had this relationship with his sister, he would get Malkos. Because Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Ula. Rabbi Yochanan holds that whenever there's Mis and Malkos, then you get Malkos, and you don't get Mama. In the Mishnah in Masechta Makkos, he had Asra, hence he gets Malkos, and therefore he doesn't pay the Knas. In our Mishnah, there was no Asra. Now, as an introduction to the sugya, there are two major breakthroughs here in the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, as opposed to the sugya above of Ula. Number one, he rejects Ula. And whenever there's an overlap, you give him Malkos and not Mamon. But the more radical chiddush here in Rabbi Yochanan, and this has an impact on the entire Perakei Lunaris, the subject of which is Kimlei L'Rabbimine, is that he's going to remove Kimlei L'Rabbimine. In other words, what's he going to say? He's going to say that let's analyze whether there was Asra or not. If there was Asra, then there's Malkos, and that's going to knock off Mamon, because again, he disagrees with Ula, and he holds that Malkos knocks off Mamon, but only if there was Asra. If there was no Asra, which is our Mishnah, and that in effect is going to be the parsha of Ma'anis in the case of Psulos, that there was no Asra, then since there's no Malkos, therefore it's so facto, you don't apply the principle of Kimlei B'Dramamine. What does this mean? This means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, whether you apply Kimlei B'Dramamine or not depends on what I call Befal. Befal means in actuality. Is he going to get the higher punishment? Is Bezin going to mete it out? Or are they not going to mete it out? We're not going to look at the Avera in abstract and say, well, this Avera could generate Malkos if there would have been Asra. No. We're going to say if technically there's no Malkos here because there was no Asra, then we're going to give him Mama. We're going to make him pay Mama. So this is going to be our sugya for tomorrow, Bli Neder, that Rabbi Yochanan is predicated on the assumption that the din of Kimlei B'Dramamine only applies when the higher, the heavier punishment is going to be implemented before, in actuality. We're not going to look at the Avera per se.
Makes sense.
Yes and no. I'll tell you why it's problematic. Because there's something called Chayvei Misa Shogigin. Chayvei Misa Shogigin means the following. Let's say, for example, Reuven falls off a ladder and he murders Shimon. I'm not going into Derek, you read it there, but let's say he's a murderer and at the same time he ripped Shimon's garment. He did it for Shogeg. He will not get Misa.
but he also won't be obligated.
And he won't be obligated to pay damages. Why? Because the Avera per se is an Averis Ritzicha. So the principle of Kimli Rabbi Name is we look at the Avera, we don't look at where the
benefit. Would that be an exception?
So that's what we want to iron out. I mean, I'm doing this mostly in my 11:45 class. You know, I give a class in the LC where I try to go a little bit deeper. But we're going to have to, you know, what's the word? Sort this all out, as the British say. You know, we have to engineer it in such a way that in some cases we look at the Avera, we don't care where the Bezdin punishes, and we knock off the Chiyuv Mamon. And in other cases, we look at, according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least the Befoal, and we see whether we mete out that punishment. Okay, then? So that's what we'll pick up, believe me.
Thank you.